Okay, let's talk a little bit about the city. I don't think I have a really great transition. So how about this? It's been, Jason Welker, you've been on these airwaves many times before, but it has been a little while. Things have changed since last you were here.
Yeah, this is probably the third different hat I've been wearing while on the show. I've been a guest on this show as the executive director of Pondere Peddlers, the local cycling club and trails organization, probably three times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a guest on the show as a candidate for city council about 3 years ago when I ran for the council seat that I sat on for 2.5 years. And now I've kind of tossed both those hats into the bin, and I'm wearing the hat of a department head at the city as the community planning and development director. So that's a new department at the city since January when Mayor Grimm took his seat and consolidated a couple of the divisions within the former city structure under the previous administration. So the two kind of divisions that fall under that community planning and development department are Parks and Recreation, which is why I'm sitting here with Katie, our recreation superintendent today, and the planning and building division. So we cover lots of different areas of development going on in the city, everything from paving of the parking lots at different parks, to the boat ramps, to the marina, which we manage, to the RV park, to 143 acres of parks within city limits. That's all on the park side. All the recreation programming, which Katie's going to talk about in great detail, but also all of the planning and building work that goes on in the city. So literally every building permit that comes through the city comes into my department. Every application for a new subdivision or a short plat or a lot line adjustment or a conditional use permit, those are all within the community planning and development department. So it's a huge range of city activities that I kind of get the pleasure of overseeing with my team of multiple professionals who report to me in the community planning and development department.
Yeah. Okay, before we introduce Katie properly, you were on city council last time you were here, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
The transition, I think, some people might be surprised that you stepped down and took this different role. How did that come about?
Great question. Well, there was obviously the November election when Jeremy Grimm was elected. In the months that followed, there was a lot of discussion about his potential restructuring of the government. We previously did not have department heads, to speak. I should say previously, as in for the last 5 to 7 years leading up to 2024. Now, before the previous administration, we had a department head model of government where there were several appointed department heads,
mm-hmm.
And there was not a single appointed city administrator.
Yep.
Now, when I say appointed, what that means is that I am not employed. Department heads at the city are not employed at the whim of the mayor. We are appointed by city council, nominated by the mayor, appointed by city council. So that gives us some level of political protection. We are more autonomous than we would be if we could be fired tomorrow.
Right.
And of course, the mayor's been on this show talking about that very concept.
Mm-hmm.
Under the previous model, we had a city administrator who was the only appointed department head. That's not exactly true. Our finance director, our city clerk, our police and fire chiefs were also appointed.
Yeah.
But we did not have department heads running the different divisions within the city beyond that appointed city administrator. So now we have three new department head positions that the mayor's created.
Mm-hmm.
There's my department, the community planning and development, which he eventually hired and then appointed me to. There's the central services department, which about 3 months ago, he appointed Cheryl Hughes to be the department head for that. And then there's one vacant department head position still, and that's our public works department. Now, essentially, all three of those department heads, once we've hired public works, will have the same level of authority that the previous city administrator did. The mayor becomes the chief executive of the city under this model, whereas previously the city administrator was the chief executive of the city. So Jeremy's a very active mayor. He spends 3 to 5 days a week at City Hall working. He's still part-time, technically. He has his own business on the side, but he's been very involved, and he's kind of filling that role of the city administrator and these appointed department heads, which now we have the police chief, the fire chief, the central services director, the city clerk, the finance director, and myself. And then soon, hopefully, we'll have a public works director sitting with us in those weekly department head leadership meetings. Yeah. So how did I get in this role? My background, I'd, I had been an economics teacher internationally for 13 years before settling in Sandpoint, where I had owned a house since 2004. And that was almost 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago, I moved here full time. I left the teaching realm and got into nonprofit leadership, got into community development, literally working with two local nonprofits for my work for the last 6 years. And public service, I served on the Planning and Zoning Commission for 2 years. I was the chair of that before running for city council. I was appointed city council president by my peers when Jeremy took his seat back in January. And honestly, at that time, I had no thoughts in my mind about transitioning to be a staff member, but it was actually members of the current staff who reached out to me and said, hey, this might be a good position for you. Are you interested? And I said, well, I hadn't even thought about it. But when I look at the job description and I look at community development, having come through the Planning and Zoning Commission myself, having overseen planning and zoning activities as a city councilor for several years, I had as much knowledge as a layperson could of our city zoning ordinances. And it turned out you didn't need to be a professional planner to fill this role, because it is not just a planning role. Planning is one of four different things that my department oversees: planning, building, parks, and recreation. So they needed somebody who could wear a lot of different hats. And in my career, I've worn a lot of different hats. And after thinking about it, talking about it with my family, being encouraged by some current staff members, I decided to throw my hat in. Several rounds of interviews with Jeremy Grimm and the leadership team, and I was offered the position back in March. And I started in early April. So it's been an interesting journey, but I'm really happy in this role. Absolutely love working for the city, and the mayor's been great to work with as well.
Are you happier now than you were when you were a city councilman?
When I was a city councilman, I had three different jobs, really. Yeah. And I also had a lot of freedom in my life. So I kind of made my own schedule.
Yeah.
I've been on the show many times talking about cycling, mountain biking, trail development. I spent a lot more time out in the woods in my previous job. I got to build a lot of trails around the city, around the community. I got to ride my bike a lot. So I've definitely made some sacrifices in terms of my physical health and my enjoyment of the outdoors in the last 6 months. but the value of the work I'm doing is so great. And I feel like I'm able to serve this community in so many different ways as the community planning and development director than I ever had before in my nonprofit realm. So happiness is a subjective term. I'm happy. I've got high level of job satisfaction, but I certainly have made some sacrifices in my personal and family life to work this kind of hectic schedule as a city department head.
Yeah. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. We're talking with Jason Welker, the Community Planning and Development Director, and also in the room, Katie Bradbury, Recreation Superintendent. And
good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. And you're relatively new on city staff, is that right?
I am, yeah. I took a long way around getting to Sandpoint. Spokane, Washington was my hometown for a long time, and I graduated from Eastern Washington University. With a degree in outdoor recreation, and it's a fairly nomadic job where you're weather dependent and water dependent and just recreation weather dependent. So I ended up moving out of Washington State, worked for a variety of different municipalities, city of Casa Grande, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, Dallas. My most recent was the recreation supervisor for the town of Frisco, Colorado, and I love the four seasons. I love snow, but I don't love being buried under 4 feet of snow. Yeah. And that was my experience up in the Rocky Mountains. So we kind of leveled it out a little bit and saw that the city of Sandpoint was hiring. So I thought, what could happen?
Yeah.
And this is exactly what happened. I got hired for a position that I've always wanted to have. And it's been a really incredible journey these last 5-6 months.
Yeah.
Cool. We're learning a lot.
Katie started just about 4 weeks after I did. So she had been offered the job before I started.
Yeah.
We were essentially hired at about the same time. She just started a few weeks later.
Yeah.
So it's been great kind of starting over anew in the recreation department with a new leader.
You mentioned some big cities there.
Pittsburgh. I did. Yeah.
Vegas. Dallas, is that what you said?
Yeah. Park ranger supervisor for the city of Dallas. So they had 400, 500 municipal parks.
Wow.
And we had a staff of 9 park rangers to go scatter throughout the city and do some do some outreach and make sure the parks were safe.
Were you looking for something like this, something in a smaller community?
I thought that I'd like the big cities, and I think, mm-hmm. I mean, looking at it now, if I was in my 20s doing the big cities, I could probably pull it off. But mm-hmm. just having those experiences was really, I think, what I needed the most to figure out where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandpoint meant a lot to me as a kid. Our youth groups would come here to learn how to snowboard and ski, and mm-hmm. some of the families would take us in for the weekends, and we'd have a place to sleep without having to worry about hotels. And it just meant a lot. Like, there was a lot of growing that came through the Spokane, Sandpoint, North Idaho area. And so I kind of felt like this was a little bit of my home without actually having to go all the way home again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sandpoint was, that was kind of on my radar for a little while. And when I saw this position had opened up, it was the learning opportunity, the promotional opportunity that I was looking for. I'd been a supervisor for senior centers, kids camps, youth and adult sports leagues. This is all encompassing. And to see that there's an opportunity to really program for a great new facility, that was another real big draw for me to apply for this position.
Cool.
Yeah.
And still have roots in Spokane? So we got folks back there?
My parents, they went down south. They're mm-hmm. in Arizona, but all okay. of my friends are still up here. And I have family over in the Seattle area too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to be close.
Yeah, it is.
Recreation superintendent. What does that mean? What is your job like?
Right now, it's just kind of analyzing the jobs or the programs that we have right now and figuring out ways to kind of bolster them a little bit for the community, make some changes, adjusting to the changes that come when communities grow and the needs change.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're working on getting our flag football, our youth flag football up and running. That mm-hmm. starts actually in the 21st of September.
Yeah.
We have women's volleyball leagues that are going in October, men's and kids open gym. Recent programs that I'm trying to kick off are non-school day camps. So the days where the teachers are doing in-services, we want to offer day camps for the parents that need a place for their kids to go and have fun and in a mm-hmm. safe and structured environment. Those are what I'm working on right now, and kids' night outs and
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really focusing on the families.
I think Sandpoint's always had a pretty robust recreation side of the Parks and Rec department. Yeah. You guys just did the Sandlot. That was last weekend.
Yes.
Sorry. I was gonna say.
That was our first shot, I think, since the last time there was a movie in the park was like 2016 or 17. And I love doing community events. So we just kind of bit the bullet and tried it out to see how it would go with that little park across the street. And I thought it was successful. That was so much fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to give it to Katie. We did movies in the park until maybe 2019. That might have fallen victim to COVID, I think, during 2020. It never restarted. There used to be a Lakeview Park over by Memorial Field. Yeah. Katie had the idea of doing it right across the street from City Hall at the Little League Baseball Diamond there and showing a movie about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 300 people came out last Friday night for a movie in the park under the warm late summer sky.
Cool.
So I was really thrilled.
It really couldn't have asked for better weather.
Katie totally put that event on all by herself. you might have had a couple volunteers who helped you out, but I was out of town visiting family for the long weekend, and she was sending me pictures as the people trickled in, and before long, that outfield was almost full of moviegoers. So free event for the community, paid for and completely supported by the city's rec department.
After seeing that it's something I'll continue on in the summertime. I've already got people emailing me with suggestions of movies. So
maybe we can move it from park to park as well to serve different neighborhoods.
That'd absolutely. Kind of cool. When I saw my office, I looked out the window. I'm like, what do we do with that park across the street? And now I know what we can do with that park across the street.
Yeah. Anything new coming up in the like recreation realm? Anything kind of any either changes or new programs, stuff that maybe Sandpoint hasn't seen before?
I think right now the non-school days is a really big one. I've gotten a lot of feedback. There really hasn't been a lot of day camps that are offered on the days where the teachers are doing their in-service, but the kids aren't in school.
Oh, yeah.
So we're offering an opportunity to service the families and have a place for the kids to go so the parents aren't struggling to find care for them if they need it. And it goes kindergarten to the fifth grade. Or sixth grade. No, we've upped it to the sixth grade. And we're starting it off at the community hall, but hopefully that could be something I could move over to the Russell Center with the new community room that's opening up. So the kids will have a chance to have a nice new community room.
Yeah.
They'll have the skate park nearby. They'll have a new playground nearby and hopefully get in a few lessons of tennis or pickleball and just make it an all-encompassing day of recreation for them.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to get into what's going on over at Traverse, the Russell Sports Complex, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose before we do, I might play a little music, and we can kind of regroup. And I don't know, anything else? Is there any other important news from the recreation department?
No, I would if people are interested in the programs that we're trying to run or anything, like just looking for things for their kids to do, we're really trying to put a bigger marketing push on our Facebook page. So follow the City of Sandpoint Facebook, Parks and Recreation Facebook page. That'll give you really up to date on what's going on. We also have beginner pickleball that we're wanting to take off and keep going with at the Lakewood Park, or Lakewood courts. But once the snow falls, we'd like to be able to move those over too.
Yeah.
But if people are interested in learning right now in our great weather, we've got pickleball lessons too.
Okay. Do you guys play pickleball?
The first class that we offered, they had me come in, and it was fun. I had a great time.
Okay, I'm a tennis player. I've been part of the City Doubles League this year, but I've already decided that when winter sets in and we open the James E. Russell Center, I'm going to take up pickleball just to kind of lift that late evening gloom that settles in December when it gets dark at 4:15.
Right.
We'll talk more about that.
The only problem I had, or the issue that I was having with pickleball, was trying to figure out the scoring, and that was the one challenge they said you're going to have. It's not necessarily the movement, but once you figure out what the scoring is, you've figured out the game.
Yeah. I'm still a holdout. I'm resisting pickleball. It's spreading too far, too fast. I don't know.
You're suspicious?
I'm suspicious.
It's not a cult, Jack.
Okay. Yeah, whatever you say. Okay, we will talk. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk about the much anticipated, hopefully, I guess, knock on wood, opening soon of the James E. Russell Sports Complex and what else is going on in the whole Travelers Park area with all the skate park, playground, et cetera, et cetera. So, talking about that in just a minute. Right now, it was on this date in 1998 that Aerosmith scored their first number one single. 1998, not the 1978 that they hit number one.
Living on the Edge.
No.
Living on the Edge.
Which one was it?
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other guesses from the studio audience?
I can picture the music video.
Okay.
I think it had Slash in it, if I'm not mistaken.
It's from...
is it? Oh, no.
This is my senior year of high school. Come on.
It's from the motion picture...
Armageddon.
Armageddon, yeah. There you go.
That's right. I don't want to miss a thing. Yeah. Can you believe that this was Aerosmith's first number one?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, this date, 1998.
Man, I had that soundtrack.
Yeah. You helped him get there.
I did. Yes. You're welcome.
We'll be back with more on The Morning Show, talking especially about Travis Park and what's going on out there in just a few minutes with Jason Welker and Katie Bradbury. Here's Aerosmith.
I could stay awake just to hear. Watch you smile while you are sleeping, while you're far away dreaming. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender.
Aerosmith, I don't want to miss a thing from the motion picture Armageddon. That was at number one on this date in 1998 and was Aerosmith's first number one hit on the charts after being... hanging around for decades at that point. I think in the 70s, they had Sweet Emotion.
You know, Armageddon, one of the most scientifically accurate space films ever made.
You know, that was, for a really long time, that was like the only, that was the biggest movie of that year. And I think it was the only like original movie, not a sequel or not adaptation for like 20, 25, until, The other scientifically accurate sci-fi movie, Avatar. Till Avatar came out and took its spot. But it was, everything else was like sequel to Star Wars, sequel to Harry Potter, adaptation of Jurassic Park or whatever.
What a shame they never made three or four sequels of Armageddon.
Of Armageddon, yeah. Well, it's be hard. Yes. They could have come up with other disasters for those drillers to fight, but
maybe
of course...
Comet.
Well, without... Anyway. Okay. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm sitting here. My name is Jack Peterson, here with Jason Welker, the Community Planning and Development Director, and Katie Bradbury, the Recreation Superintendent for the City of Sandpoint. And having done our introductions, let's talk about what's going on at Traverse Park. Probably the biggest, outside of some public works construction and street developments, but at least in terms of the Parks Department, this is the big story and has been for a year.
Yeah, it is the biggest capital project going on at the city this year.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the improvements at Traverse Park, which include, it's not just the James E. Russell Sports Center, it's included more than doubling of the size of our skate park. It's included a new bicycle skills course north of the outdoor tennis courts, and then a $1.2 million playground. Mm-hmm. All in, it's over $9 million of capital improvements that we will see at Traverse Park between November last year and November this year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing that all this work will have ended up getting done from groundbreaking to ribbon cutting within 1 year.
Yeah.
It is a huge park project, and it's going to provide just so many new opportunities for play, for recreation, and for sports at our Traverse Sports Complex, as it's sometimes called.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about what's the schedule right now.
Yeah.
Am I right that the bike skills course is open?
Yep. That was a partner project with Pondere Pedalers, which I mm-hmm. actually initiated and brought to city council mm-hmm. a year and a half ago. City mm-hmm. supported Pondere Pedalers using that roughly half acre of city property at Traverse Park
mm-hmm.
to basically rebuild the old track, the little dirt track that was there, into kind of a more of a formal modern bicycle skills course. So
yeah.
We did fundraising, we did grant writing, we ended up getting around $70,000 of support to pay for that project. That whole revamp of the skills course that you see now didn't cost the city of Sandpoint a dime.
Yeah.
Entirely supported by volunteers, donors, and grants. We actually cut the ribbon on that back in April this year. It ended up getting snowed in before we could finish it last fall. So uh-huh. that opened as of April. The skate park is another partner supported project.
Mm-hmm.
The skate park opened about a month ago now.
Mm-hmm.
After more than doubling the size, we did a 7,000 square foot addition to the original bowl that was built in 2005. The Bonner County Skate Park Association contributed around $65,000 to that, which they raised through their fundraising efforts, including mm-hmm. their bank slalom event up at Schweitzer and mm-hmm. tons of donor support. The City Parks Capital Improvement Fund contributed $350,000 for that. So that right there was about a $450,000 project. And there's actually one final component to the skate park that's going to get completed this fall, which is the lighting. We've got LED lights so that mm-hmm. the skate park can stay open in these shorter days.
Yeah.
You know, within a couple months, it's going to be dark by the time kids get out of school, pretty much.
Yeah.
So to have lights, LED lights at that skate park is going to allow that to be used.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say until it snows, but anybody who has been here a while knows that the kids will be out there shoveling snow off the skate park.
Yeah, they'll be out there 12 months a year. Go the skills course.
Yeah.
What that replaced was basically a dirt track. Was that a planned?
The story I was told was that 25, 30 years ago, the previous parks director, Kim Woodruff, gave a local bike shop employee the keys to a mini excavator and had some dirt dumped off in there. And it was kind of shaped into what it was, which was a great little dirt track, but it didn't have a great design because kids were literally like hitting jumps onto the paved pathway where moms would be pushing their kids in strollers.
Uh-huh.
So we needed to redesign that as more of an enclosed bicycle skills course.
Right.
And since the 90s, when that was probably initially built, bicycle skills courses have become part of city parks all over the country. So we partnered with the American Ramp Company. It's a firm out of Missouri that actually manufactures those wood and steel features that you see there. They kind of look like maybe we built them, but they were mm-hmm. all professionally engineered, designed, and mm-hmm. they sent an installation team out to assist with installation last October as well.
Cool.
So there's little skills courses like that all over the country in city parks. Sandpoint, mm-hmm. This is the first of its kind in the area here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's very neat. Yeah, I was never sure if that was like a just something that the city kind of looked the other way with that old dirt track. Like they were like, well, let the kids have it.
But you know, I think there were
a little bit legit.
Yeah, there were a lot of examples of parks uh-huh. amenities that I think the city kind of looked the other way on over the decades.
Okay, the Concrete Lake Skate Park we mentioned is open. Lighting is coming.
Yep.
I have I think I've seen that they have plans to expand further, but that's not in the immediate future.
The original plan for the skate park, actually this year we were hoping to do the full skate park build out.
Yeah.
Now the challenge is that in order to build phases, what we're calling phase three of the skate park expansion, this year's project was phase two, we would actually double the size from its current size.
Yeah.
So what we did this year was we doubled its size from its 2005 footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Phase three then doubles the size from what we achieved this year.
Yeah.
Basically taking up a good portion of the parking lot at Traverse Park.
Yeah.
The phase three of the skate park expansion likely won't be realized until we have a plan to expand that parking lot further west into the southern part of what is currently the softball fields. So I'd love to say, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to tackle phase three and double the skate park in size again next year, or the year after. It's it's approximately a $900,000 or $1 million expansion mm-hmm. to do phase three, but that's just for the skate park expansion. The parking lot expansion needs to happen simultaneously, because by expanding the skate park again, we're going to wipe out a third of our remaining parking spots.
Yeah.
So we're really looking at a several million-dollar project mm-hmm. to expand the parking lot to the west, and that's going to require realigning the softball fields, because we don't want to lose softball and baseball fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really, if you look at our parks capital improvement plan, which is available mm-hmm. on the city's website, it shows the ultimate size of the skate park, but it also shows the parking lot being, you know, moved out to the west and a realignment of those ball fields. In mm-hmm. all honesty, that's not going to happen within the next 3 to 5 years. Yeah. The priority of the city right now is more on basic infrastructure, streets, sidewalks, wastewater, and water. We don't have a likely funding mechanism to double the skate park and move the parking lot to the west and rebuild 4 baseball and softball fields in the next 3 to 5 years. But it is still in the master plan. We'll work towards it in the long run. But for the short term, we're going to be focusing on completing the current round of projects at Traverse Park, then doing smaller improvements at our parks.
I'm not a skater, so I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to know, but I am at least not aware of any similar skate park type structures in our area at all.
Certainly
there
not.
Must in, be something in
certainly not in Bonner or Boundary County.
Yeah.
You know, I can't picture. There is a skate park in Coeur d'Alene.
There is. Okay.
I'm near their city beach, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sandpoint kids aren't riding down to Coeur d'Alene to go to the skate park.
It's very busy over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Skate park is always packed.
Since we opened it a month or so ago, I'd say it averages 24 kids at any time of day.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is it's not just skaters. You see a ton of scooters. There's a bunch of kids on bikes. The phase two skate park expansion is more of a beginner zone than the original concrete lake, which is quite intimidating. It's pretty much got vertical walls into like an 8-foot deep bowl.
Yeah.
The expanded skate park is far better for scooters, kids on bikes, kids on rollerblades. You see all sorts of wheeled users in there.
Maybe this is a question for Katie. Is there any staff over there running it, or how is it? I don't know anything about skateboarding. I don't know. Is the etiquette just kind of understood and assumed? You know when it's your turn to go and when it's not, or is there somebody
there's,
who's like
they know what they need to do. They're the older kids I've watched are incredibly protective of the littles, and they kind of take on their own little leadership role. Where if there's a mm-hmm. child struggling and they're smaller and they're just learning, the older ones really kind of take a lead and help them out. I mean, definitely from a programming perspective, I'd love to have instruction over there as soon as. We have a place to put our staff.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have them go over and run a few day camps and after school programs and bring your bikes, bring your scooters, bring your skateboards, and we plug out a couple of hours of instruction.
Yeah. That seems like it must draw kids from not just Sandpoint. Probably people are coming in from some of the outlying communities as well.
Oh,
would
sure.
be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
There's a lot of kids that are up in the Ponderay area. It's not that far of a drive to come down and use the park. I think mm-hmm. when you get something new and fun, there's a really big draw. I kind of call it a little bit of a recreational honeymoon phase, where you've got something brand new. Everybody wants to give it a shot, and mm-hmm. they either really start to love it or they try something else. Yeah.
Okay. We got the concrete lake. We got the bike skills course. Before we get to the James E. Russell, the building, how about the path around the walking path around Travers, which is
When we broke ground on the sports center last fall, the previous walking path, which was to the west of the outdoor tennis courts, mm-hmm. was obviously put behind the construction fencing, and a temporary gravel path was put in around the east side of the tennis courts. That is going to be paved starting October 14th, and that's going to end up being the final route. Mm-hmm. Our parks maintenance staff is actually going to extend that to the east of the skate park, and we'll have a paved pathway going along the east side of the skate park all the way down to basically where the crosswalk is between the Waldorf School and Traverse Park.
Yeah.
That'll provide access to people coming down Pine Street on foot, coming from the Waldorf School on foot. The Waldorf kids use Tiny Wood Skills Park a lot. That's become like kind of one of their little play areas. It always was one of their little play areas where the mm-hmm. bicycle skills park is. So this way they won't have to walk through the parking lot to get to it. They'll be able to walk to a new path that's going to be built by our parks team mm-hmm. later this fall on the east side of the skate park. So the walking path that you see now is gravel. It's going to be paved along with our parking lot, the fire lane around the James E. Russell building. That paving project starts the week of October 14th, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a change in the course from what it is currently and what it was before.
As far as the walking path. Yeah. Extended a little bit.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, the building itself, anybody who's been on Pine Street, on that part of Pine Street, has been watching. You can easily see that building, and everybody's been watching the progress. It came up so fast.
It did.
In July
or whatever. It seemed like a matter of weeks where the building went vertical.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Yep.
And from looking at it from the street, you might think, well, what's been done since the building went up?
Yes.
Well, obviously a building like that, the structure itself is just mm-hmm. a small percentage of what needs to be done to build an indoor sports center. Mm-hmm. So some of the work that's gone on inside, we've had all the electrical, water utilities have been put in the ground. That work's now done. We've had all the HVAC system. If you look behind the building, there's a diesel truck-sized heating mm-hmm. system that pumps heat into the building so that we can have comfortable playing temperatures all winter long. There have been multiple layers of asphalt put down on the floor inside the building. It's about a 40,000 square foot building. It's about 1 acre mm-hmm. Of asphalt. Woods Crushing and Hauling has done all the asphalt work in there. They've, as of 2 weeks ago, they did their final asphalt pour. And 2 weeks from now, In-N-Out Paint, I think it's called In-N-Out. It's Steve Geiger, the mayor of Ponderay's company. He owns a painting company. He won the contract to do the painting of the courts. So he's going to come in and do several layers of acrylic paint with the striping itself. Mm-hmm. So starting about 2 weeks from today, we're going to start to see the inside of that building look like a tennis facility. It's actually going to be finished, the court surface here, in about 3 weeks from now. It'll be finished.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's been going on. There's also a lobby area. There's a community room that has 50 people. We've got all all the lighting, all the technology, the wiring for internet, all those things have had to go into that building since the building went vertical in the spring. So it's been a nonstop construction project since the building started to go up in March or April this year. The outside of the building, the other thing I want to point out, you mentioned the visible kind of nature of the building from mm-hmm. the street. That's about to entirely change as well. The vertical wall with the large blue panel, about a month from now, you won't see that blue panel.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you look closely now, just last week, the crews put in large concrete footers in front of the building. Those are to hold up a steel canopy structure that's starting to go vertical today, actually. Oh. So the steel canopy is about a 4,000 square foot covered patio in front of the building that has a wood wall separating the canopy from the building. So when you look at that, when you look at the James E. Russell Sports Center here in 4 to 6 weeks, you won't see the front that you see now. Mm-hmm. You'll see a anodized steel structure with mm-hmm. wood scrim. And here's what's really cool. Mountain Metalworks out of Ponderay did all the steel work for this building. They're doing all the insulation, local firm. Mm-hmm. Idaho Forest Group donated all the lumber for the wood front and for the tongue and groove that goes underneath the awning, the canopy, mm-hmm. all donated by Idaho Forest Group. I want to thank the guys over at IFG for that lumber. $10,000 worth of lumber they donated for that. So we're putting dozens of local people to work on this project. The canopy and the wood front are going to be spectacular. You're not going to recognize the building here in 6 weeks. An example of what this building is going to look like is the ICCU arena down at University of Idaho. Mm. We're doing the mm-hmm. exact same wood slat front that they have on that building. So it's a very, architecturally recognized building. We've got a great firm, ALSC out of Spokane, as our architects, and they really had some innovative ideas about how to make this look not just like a tensioned fabric building, but give it some character unique to North Idaho, to the Sandpoint area. So we've got local lumber mills, we've got local steel mills doing steel fabricators doing the work that's going to make this building look very uniquely Sandpoint when it's done.
Yeah. The inside of the building is wide open, pretty much.
It is. Yeah. Beyond the lobby area, when you walk in, you'll have a lobby. There's 3 indoor restrooms. There's 2 outdoor restrooms that will serve the park. Those will be open 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And then there's the 50-person community room, which will be, you know, wired with TV monitors. It's got a little kitchenette. It's got a sink and a fridge so that events can go on in there, birthday parties, any sort of event you want to host in there. But then when you go through that lobby area, there's going to be basically 250 feet or so to the back wall where you've got 4 tennis courts with 24 feet between each court. Mm-hmm. And then you've got 2 pickleball courts on top of each tennis court. So one on either side of the tennis net and then 2 pickleball courts between each tennis court. So the four tennis courts times 2 is 8 pickleball courts. And then between those 4 tennis courts are 6 more pickleball courts. So there's going to be a total of 14 pickleball courts and 4 tennis courts. So that's something Katie's going to talk a little bit more about is the we say the primary user group for this facility is tennis and pickleball.
Yeah.
But it is not called the James E. Russell Pickleball and Tennis Center.
Yeah.
It's the James E. Russell Sports Center.
Yeah.
Because we plan to do all sorts of sports, youth activities, adult activities within this building. Just because the surface of the floor is painted for tennis and pickleball doesn't mean you can't do other sports in here.
Well, there we go. What else can you do in a facility like this? What do you anticipate, Katie?
Oh gosh. I go back to my recreational programming experience has always gone to the kids first. And I'm really big on introducing them to different types of sports, not necessarily going straight for competitive type programming. I do more for the skills and drills and giving them an opportunity to introduce them to these sports. I think a lot of kids programming is going to be taking place where they can learn pickleball and they can learn tennis. But again, this is it's a floor that we can open up for anything. So one of the ideas we had after the success of the movie in the park is what if we moved that all inside? What if we took all the nets down, brought in a screen, and turned it into an evening of watching movies? It's not a lot of wear and tear on the floor. We can definitely put a lot of people in the community there, offer up some food in the community room. It's a blank slate. It's a great creative area for people that love doing the programming.
Could you have like a dance in there? What can you do?
I would love to. I think it'd be really kind of cool to do a senior prom, perhaps.
Exactly. Or yeah, it's like
daddy daughter dances.
It's comparable in size to the out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds.
It's larger.
It's larger.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is larger than the main hall at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
The limitations we might face, and this is something we're still learning about, is
flooring.
How to find uses that are compatible with this floor surface.
Right. It's like a tennis, tennis court.
On one hand, the Bonner County Fairgrounds are used for volleyball right now. The Panhandle Pickleball Club plays out there all winter.
Yeah.
But the SARS ski swap, I used to put that on every year for 5 years. I helped organize the ski swap. We host in there. They do the gun and horn show. Everything happens in that.
Yes.
But the surface in there is actually just not great for sports, right? I've watched people play pickleball in there. It's a very slippery surface. Our surface will be perfect for racket sports.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is you might not be able to, you know, set up tables and awnings in there and do a ski swap or do a gun and horn show.
Yeah.
So we are looking at what is the extent to which we can use this surface without damaging it. For all different types of uses. But, you know, there's been talk about, could we do like high school graduation in this building? Could we do car shows in this building? Answer, probably not car shows.
Right.
But there are all sorts of other applications. And there's also opportunities in the future for alternative surfaces that we could roll out or install on top of the tennis surface.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Festival of Sandpoint does at Memorial Field. When we went to Turf at Memorial, the Festival of Sandpoint had to bring an alternative surface to set up their stage on and drive vehicles on.
Yeah.
Those products are available. There's also alternative sports surfaces as well. There are snap together turf surfaces that we could put over, let's say, one of the 4 courts for a season of indoor soccer, baseball, softball, lacrosse, ultimate frisbee. There's snapped together basketball and volleyball courts we could put together on top of one of the tennis courts to have a season for indoor basketball and volleyball.
Yeah.
These are things we're exploring. We don't have any plans to implement them in the first year. But, you know, depending on how the facility is used by the community, the level of demand for it in its kind of original state, we have all options for diversifying its use in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
It's a blank slate.
Yeah.
For programming.
So we don't exactly know what it's going to be used for, I guess, as you look years into the future, who knows?
Our primary user group is tennis and pickleball players. Right now, so that's kind of who we're doing the most outreach with right now. We're going to depend on tennis and pickleball players supporting the facility financially in the beginning. The facility will not be supported with general fund tax dollars from the city. Mm-hmm. It has to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So we've developed a fee schedule that will give the tennis and pickleball community opportunities to buy memberships or either pay each time they go.
Mm-hmm.
Those fee schedules have all been developed in partnership with the local tennis and pickleball players. We had over 243 respondents to a survey we did last month around fees, and we settled on a fee schedule that I think people are going to be really pleased with. It's fair and equitable and quite competitive in the region for this sort of facility.
Is it open? When it opens?
Yeah.
All day, every day? What's the hours?
First of all, we're aiming for around a November 21st soft opening.
Okay.
And a grand opening later in that month, possibly on Thanksgiving. We have to coordinate that with our donors, the Russell family, and the mayor and the rest of the community. But once it opens, we're aiming to have it open from 6 a.m. until around 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of local, you know, users are going to want to get up and go play a round of tennis or pickleball before they go to work in the morning and have that opportunity to come out after dinner and play as well.
Yeah.
So in order to keep it open for 15 hours a day, we're going to need a staff of around 6 people.
Uh-huh.
We've got an offer out to a building supervisor.
Uh-huh.
I'll let Katie talk about that job that we hope to have filled here by tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
And then before we open, in the weeks before we open, we'll be posting kind of more part-time front desk reception, people to help keep the, you know, open the door in the morning, close the doors in the evening, keep the lights on, help maintain the facility, possibly do some programming. If we can find people who can actually offer pickleball and tennis clinics or lessons, that might be the kind of person we're looking to hire in the month or two before we open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we had close to 30.
We had 25 applicants for our James E. Russell facility supervisor position.
Yeah. And it was countrywide. It didn't just stay in Idaho. We had people that were applying from Illinois. We had people applying from California. So, I mean, it was really exciting. And to be able to talk to some of these professionals was, I think it was a difficult decision. We had a lot of conversations.
And what were we looking for in a good supervisor for this facility?
Customer service, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the questions we had asked was how would the community see this center if you were the supervisor? And one of the key answers for me was turning it community.
Yeah.
The inviting and welcoming community is what we want people to feel when they come in.
Yeah.
And I think the person that we extended that to, he came with a lot of energy. He's come with an incredible amount of knowledge and experience. And that was his answer, was
cool.
To make it positive and community-based.
We were talking, by the way, to Jason Welker and Katie Bradbury. I haven't mentioned that for a little while. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. And actually, I think Brendan Kelty is waiting in the wings to come in and talk about what's going on this weekend and next and upcoming at the Panada and or elsewhere around town. Any closing thoughts or big events coming up that you want to mention about the City of Sandpoint's Recreation Department? Community planning and development.
One thing I wanted to highlight for the listeners was the final project of our kind of four project improvements to Travis Park this year, and that's the playground.
Oh my gosh!
Of course,
I can't believe we didn't ask about that.
I
the most important thing.
If you let me just talk about this playground for a minute.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Of course, the James E. Russell facility is located on the site of the former playground of Travis Park.
Yes.
That playground was built around 15 years ago. With the budget of around $50,000 from a grant that our previous park director had written. The new playground has a budget of $1.2 million, and it's going to be located on the acre to the west of the James E. Russell building, between the softball fields and the building itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to Travis Park today, you look, it literally just looks like an acre of roughed up dirt and about 8 or 10 trees that were left standing and are surrounded by orange construction fencing right now. In the next 2 months, that site is going to be transformed into the best playground in Sandpoint, bar none. Mm-hmm. $1.2 million is an unprecedented level for a playground. Half of that is coming from a land water conservation fund grant that our parks planning and development manager, Maeve, mm-hmm. wrote a year and a half, 2 years ago. So $600,000 is coming from a federal grant. The rest is coming from several years of parks capital improvement funds that were accumulated. The playground's going to include toddler play areas, toddler-specific play areas, youth-specific play areas. It includes a zip line structure. It's going to include a nature play area. It includes some bermed hillsides with slides. And best of all, it's all accessible for children with various abilities and needs. We haven't had a truly accessible playground in Sandpoint so that parents and kids in wheelchairs, for example, can access this park, mm-hmm. all parts of the park, all parts of the playground, and enjoy its features. It's also going to include Sandpoint's first splash pad. Mm-hmm. Obviously won't be open this fall, but when the temperatures warm up next spring, we'll turn on the splash pad for the first time.
Cool.
So it's a really exciting playground project, and it's all happening right now. They're actually this week doing the grading for the playground. By mid-October, we're going to see the playground surfacing go in, the safety surfacing, mm-hmm. and then by late October, the actual features will be installed. So all the playground features within 6 or 7 weeks from now are going to be installed at that playground. The playground will be done at the end of November as well. Depending on whether there's snow on the ground, we could have kids playing on that during the grand opening of the James E. Russell Sports Center.
Okay. You're weather dependent. Okay. I guess barring any unforeseen delays, it'll be end of November.
I think the only major delay we could have is if snow comes early this year, and it's all under snow. as far as the construction team goes and the progress we see in the timeline, we're definitely on schedule to finish the entire project by the end of November.
Okay,
and that includes a complete repaving of the parking lot. And everybody knows that parking lot's a mess right now. We've had to dig several trenches for utilities and stormwater. Yeah. All of that's going to be repaved and restriped in mid-October.
Okay. All right. We got to get Brendan in here. And I must thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm going to play a little, at least part of this song from, it was on, I think on this date in 1980, 81, that Stevie Nicks hit number one on the album charts with her album Belladonna after her career with Fleetwood Mac as a solo artist, although not entirely solo. Some of her hits off that album were duets, one with Don Henley. Of course, she had Edge of 17, the solo hit, and this one with Mr. Tom Petty. This is Stop Dragging My Heart Around. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned for upcoming events. Yeah, you're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. We're now into the 9 o'clock hour and still going strong, but we'll try to be relatively brief here. I am joined now by Mr. Brendan Kelty from the Panetta Theater. You're on microphone number 3. There we go.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Brendan. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be here.
And of course, I'm gonna start by saying our big announcement, our joint announcement, is the September 13th show.
Oh yes.
That we have just added. I feel like that was just announced 2 days, maybe yesterday.
Yesterday. It's all been moving fast.
Okay. Yeah. Are you aware of how ticket sales are proceeding with that?
Very fast.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I think we had close to 100 yesterday.
Okay.
So the theater holds,
almost 5. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that's coming up on Friday, and there will be, sales are proceeding rapidly, and mm-hmm. the Saturday show sold out very quickly. I wouldn't be too surprised if this Friday show sells out too. So
for sure. We had a lot of follow-up from the public asking for a second showing, so.
And a big thanks, of course, to Vigo, who makes it all possible. It was his generosity that makes this event happen.
So. Absolutely. And I'm just getting word now from management, over uh-huh. half the tickets had been sold already.
Oh, wow.
For okay. September 13.
Wow. Okay. And we announced it. Yeah. I feel like on the morning show yesterday was the first time we said anything. So in one day we sold about half of it. Yep. Okay. If there's there, we have some listeners I know who waited and then called and said, do you have any tickets left?
Mm-hmm.
This is your time. Don't miss it twice.
Don't hesitate.
I do not think there will be a third night. This is the one. Okay, let's see. There's other stuff going on in town, but what's going on at the Panada Theater this weekend?
Well, I guess tonight, if you have an interest in hearing what's going on with the Panada, behind the scenes, there's a community board meeting this evening. Yeah. So that's 5:30. All are welcome to attend in the Little Theater, Panada Little Theater, next door to the big one. Then, of course, we got Jurassic Park coming up on Friday. That's our part of our $5 movie series, and that goes on at 7 p.m.
That is, I wish I was going to be in town. I think I'm leaving. I want to see that. I've never seen that in the big theater, I don't think.
So good. Yeah. And our $5 movies have been getting quite a bit of energy in the theater. People are having lots of fun beforehand, getting drinks and just catching up on these nostalgic films that we're showing over there. So
okay. Let's see. What else is going on at the Panada coming up?
Yeah, so the following week we're looking forward to having Ty Herndon.
Yes. Ty Herndon.
Yes.
I should have added some of his music to our library since last we spoke, and I didn't. I don't have one to play by him, but
yeah. Great singer-songwriter, had some big hits in the 90s in the country world, and then continues to write to this day. So he's had some chart-topping hits all the way through the aughts and the 2010s, and he's been touring strong, so come check him out.
That's a Thursday show.
Correct. Yep.
Cool.
September 12th, and that one's at 7 as well.
Okay. Doors at 6, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Ty Herndon on the 12th. On the 13th and 14th, we have the Dead Don't Hurt with a Q&A with director, writer, star Viggo Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else coming up later in the month you want to throw out right now?
Well, of course, keep your eyes on that little live radio hour that we co-present with the Festival at Sandpoint as well.
Yeah.
Those are always a great time.
Hannah Meehan coming up on the 24th. And we should be, I just spoke to her last night. I think we're going to be getting some stuff out on social media and stuff about that soon. But that will be a good show on the, 24th of this month, which is a Tuesday night as ever, and 8 o'clock. For that, you can listen to it here on the radio, or it is a lot of fun to come down and see it in person. So
hopefully really
if you can do that. I will mention that the Sand Creek Regatta is this weekend. And once again, this radio station will not be participating because I am going out of town once again the weekend after Labor Day. I missed it last year, too.
I'd imagine that you would put together a pretty sweet craft.
Can you even imagine? Yes. I really would be excited to participate. I know we would win. There's nobody stands a chance. I build boats all the time in my backyard just for fun, and then I take them apart and then build them again.
Really?
Okay. But I think I could. I think I could build a great boat, and I think yes.
We've seen how crafty you are.
Yeah. We can pull this thing together, and someday the radio station will participate. You can go and watch if you want. The launch time is 11 a.m., and you can see it from the Cedar Street Bridge or the Bridge Street Bridge if you want to get a fine vantage point or right along the path there. Is the Panada going to be in it?
I'm sorry to say we're not.
No.
I think it's a goal to shoot for 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think so too. We're going to get the radio station and the Panada. We'll both have boats in the 2025 Sand Creek
Regatta.
Let's
do it.
Okay. That's the big event this weekend on the 7th. Boaters are instructed to gather at 10 a.m. on the east end of the Bridge Street Bridge. And you don't, I don't think you need to pre-register or anything like that, but there is a Facebook page where you can check out more information, or I think there's an article in this week's Reader, too. Or maybe of next week. Yeah. Yes, of course, the reader.
If it's useful, it's in the reader.
Yeah. Other thing, it's actually a little bit of a quiet weekend that, as far as I can see, there's no. This is the no huge huge weekend wide event or anything like that. No nothing going on that I can see other than the usual, and of course a bunch of musicians playing at various locations around town. Anything else? Yeah, you wanted to throw in there, Brendan?
Well, just keep your eyes out when we round out the month here. We got another $5 film at the end of the month, Thursday, the 26th.
And? It is?
It what? Is, Across the River and Into the Trees.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Based on the Hemingway novel.
Yeah.
So,
a new movie, not a not something from the 90s.
2022.
Yeah. Liev Schreiber plays the.
Mm-hmm.
The lead role. I haven't seen it, but I think it looks pretty good. He's a great actor too. So yeah. All right. That's the 26th, and I guess that takes us pretty much through the month of September.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention POAC's presentation of Luca Stricagnoli.
Ah,
if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and
I'm sure you are.
He's a virtuoso guitarist, and he'll be at the theater September 27th.
They are kicking off their season of. Their performing arts season from POAC. I think I will also mention next weekend there's a presentation at the Heartwood Center. Jack Nesbitt talking about David Thompson, his early days here in our area. That is not this weekend, but next weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week on the morning show. Right now, I think we got to go. It's time for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix. So thank you for listening, listeners. Thank you for coming in, Brendan.
Nice to see you, Jack.
Nice to see you, too. Time for us to continue with our day. Here we go with The Secret Lives of Goldfinches on Bird Note, and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that.
This is 88.5 KRFY Ponderé.